Intervju Radija Študent.
V današnjem Ereš intervjuju bomo prisluhnili posnetku telefonskega pogovora z Banetom Jovančevićem, poznanim tudi pod psevdonimi Y Bane Y in Kir. Programski vodja zloglasnega beograjskega kluba Drugstore in festivala Resonate se tokrat mudi v Ljubljani v klubu Channel Zero, pa bo na dogodku Mimoza danes odvrtel 3-urni set, še predtem pa ga lahko ujamete tudi v DJ seansi Radija Študent.
Hello, Bane. You also go by Y Bane Y and Kir lately, as I know, right?
Hello, Žiga. Yes, my name is Bane Jovančević. When I play DJ sets, I usually go by Y Bane Y, but I left that manicure kind of a year ago as I kind of transferred from DJing to actively playing only live sets, but for this special occasion and for a couple of more, I also do, of course, DJ sets as before. So yeah, my live, when I'm performing live, my name is Kir, and I'm doing this bit of experimental live set.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems like you're a rather occupied person. I've read that you're working as a program director at Drugstore Belgrade. You're also working, or you did work as a program director at a festival called Resonate, also in Belgrade, as well as DJing and, you know, playing live sets, as you just mentioned. And I would like to maybe start off with Drugstore. Drugstore is now running for 6 years, is that right?
Yes, this is our sixth season, and we're just finishing this first part of the season, which we hosted really a great number of amazing acts from region, Belgrade, and around the world. And this is like this weekend is like a big finale of this first half a year. We have three events starting Friday with the Headless Horseman, that we have this annual party Idemo na Mars, which is held by a couple of local crews. And of course, Sunday night is reserved for a New Year's party, where we are hosting three international DJs. I will start with The Dig, then it's Anastasia Christensen, and then Carlos Ufront in the small room. Of course, a lot of local artists are gonna join the bill, and we are opening third stage also with hosting some friend of ours from Italy and also some local DJs.
And I hear that the underground clubbing scene in Belgrade is thriving right now, not just Drugstore, but a couple of different clubs as well. And it seems like that's always almost always the case with cities and places where people kind of struggle economically and socially. Would you say that also applies for Belgrade?
Well, Belgrade is a bit of a bit specific in that context, because it's a huge city, and everything is kind of going in waves. One season is going to be incredible, and the second season people are just getting tired, and so on and so on. The thing in the last couple of years is that we are having this not kind of a new wave, but the kids start, like the kids, the new generations are starting to going to the big raves and the techno parties more in recent years. So that's kind of a new thing for big scene of Belgrade, because before it was more of the sponsor parties and stuff like that, but now there's more and more organizations that are doing like really, you know, rave kind of events. Mm-hmm. So we are feeling that as well, because we were, let's say, for years counting, but having this steady steady crowd of people, known faces and people we know. But in let's say last 3 years, we're having like this really boom of this new generation coming in, and you can feel that also with their taste in music. They're expecting something new. They are cheering for some also new faces on the scene. There is a bit of a saturation, in the sense that those new generation just don't feel the old techno and, like, you know, this well-known old faces. They are searching for their own idols and heroes, you know, and we are trying to, you know, keep up with the demand, let's say.
Yeah. But I've also read somewhere that the drugstore had problems, and that the club closed down its former location, and it moved to a new location, which now is, I hear, a slaughterhouse former.
Well, as I guess everywhere, the underground places like this are really, depending on this old warehouses and abandoned factories and so on, which is sad. But on the other hand, we are getting hold of like really really incredible spaces that we could never afford it if it wasn't for this, you know, industrial decline this economic fiasco that that Serbia and pretty much all region experienced in last 20 years. And of course globally from 2008, gentrification of all industrial places are, you know, present as in Belgrade and London or wherever you go. So we can say that the whole scene is really vibrant, because the financial situation is bad, so people are looking for escapism of some kind. But you can say it's a big city, and demand is big. The fact that people don't have money is reflecting some other aspects of our productions, we are trying to cope as best as we can. And as you mentioned, we had a difficult period when we lost the previous venue due to some privatization scandal that was involved the city, the state, and these tycoons that were like buying off all these all these old factories. But then we searched for a couple of months, and then we found, like, let's say, even better place that we are kind of well known now, and it's like a trademark of our club.
And is now the city of Belgrade supportive of your activity and of your club?
I can say not at all. Like, we are trying to be as invisible as we can to the ruling machinery, situation politically is very, very bad, and this government is basically striving to rip people off as much as they can. There's no cultural awareness of that something like drugstore is relevant to the cultural scene of Belgrade, not even Serbia. I mean, like, even a lot of bigger places and like cultural centers and stuff, they don't have support. Like it's a bit of a science fiction to expect that city as Belgrade politically will support club as underground as drugstore. But on the other hand, we are doing like a lot of concert, but not a lot, but as much as we can, like experimental concerts, classical, new classical concerts and stuff and so on, which is let's say in best scenario, this should be done by the places that are run by, you know, the state, but this is not really of interest for them, and like education of new generations are left for little number of enthusiasts that are like, you know, having their thing for a couple of years, and then they enthusiasm die off, and then like the new guys come, and they also, you know, put everything they have so they can promote some stuff, educate people in some sense, and it's only like this. Let's say only one festival was consistent enough for like 20 years now. It's Ring Ring Festival, and they're doing amazing job in promoting good music throughout the spectrum of experimental, folk, free jazz, and stuff like that. There was Dispatch Festival that ran for 10 years, but due to the lack of support from the city, also died off. Now we have Resonate Festival.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Sorry to interrupt you, but is the situation with Resonate Festival any different? Because the whole concept of the festival is different from, you know, your normal clubbing situation, whereas you have, you know, lectures and music, acts and workshops and exhibitions on top of that. Is the attitude towards Resonate Festival, which you work on as well, any different?
Luckily, yes. Somehow, Resonate, from its own beginnings, managed to, get attention from the city. Maybe not from the first year, but I'm not sure when exactly did the city and the Ministry of Culture started to help out. But I think it's the visibility, and they really had amazing people working in this sector of like marketing, and the whole festival is concept of it is a bit different, so it's like a bit wider spectrum of things that it's covering, as you said, lectures and everything else, so it was kind of easier for them to get attention, but yeah, that festival is basically relying on the big popularity throughout Europe, when you have more than 500-600 tickets sold in advance, then you can be a bit you can be sure that you can deliver a lot of stuff to people. And yeah, if there's a help from the state, a little help, of course it's always good.
Yeah, your position is firmer, as in you're, you know, providing a content that clearly people buy and enjoy. Is it also happening this year? Because I didn't see.
Yes,
any.
We are finishing up the lineups and venues that everything is going to be held. It's from 18th till 21st of April. That period of year is like really most enjoyable to visit Belgrade, and it's really like a festive kind of atmosphere in the city, because there's like a lot of people from abroad. There's a lot of mingling around throughout different venues, and you can clearly see that something is happening in the city, you know. And of course, we are trying to to get as many different venues into the program of Resonate. The center of all happenings is in the new building of Kinoteka, which is really amazing. And then there is drugstore, there is Dom Omladine, and a couple of more venues that are covering 2044 also, and the venues that are covering workshops and exhibitions are like small galleries and stuff like that.
If we move on to your music here, which I think just going through last year's lineup of artists, especially music artists, I think your music, especially your two releases, kind of fall into this category more than, let's say, drugstore program, where, you know, there's more focus on drone, experimental, kind of ambient, and just kind of sound design, let's say, music. What's your focus on production, let's say?
Well, I experiment a lot and trying to, you know, get some, let's say, new collages of music with drawn from like different different places. I really am a big fan of you know, folk music from all around the world, Balkans as well, especially, and I'm trying somehow to get into those really specific rhythms and like to deconstruct them, break them apart, and like put it in the like some new light, and of course I'm doing like a lot of sound design on different synthesizers, but I use a lot of traditional like traditional instruments like bouzouki, banjo, and stuff like that, and then I'm trying to break those sounds to somehow to get the new feeling to some old textures. I don't really play much in drugstore because it's kind of a different programming there, more oriented on techno, and I usually play on like some smaller, really specific parties there, or just around the city on some more ambient surroundings. But I play last year was like really really good for me, as I play throughout the Europe in some really amazing places, and this is a big you know, a big thing for me, and I'm enjoying as much as I can. And on those travels I really meet a lot of people. I discovered a lot of new music with this new people that I meet, and this is really, you know, important for me also, as you kind of get into this you know, pattern of your everyday routines, and like how you perceive music, how you listen to it, where you dig for the new influences and stuff, and this is kind of, you know, a shaking for your in a say routine thing, and I discovered a lot of stuff and trying to, let's say, follow up on the different scenes to look at the music from like different angles.
Mm-hmm. And you said you'd mostly do live sets, if I remember right. Is that also, you know, because Is it playing live sets also to maybe escape the routine? Because live sets can never be the same.
Yeah, this is like really the beauty of doing live sets, and I'm kind of having this not a rule, but I feel better when almost each live set I do completely from scratch. There's a lot of instruments that I'm using that are the same, but from last year I focused on my live sets to be played mostly on modular synths, so like every patch is like completely different from the last one, and the prepared stuff that I do with samples and stuff, I always try to get the new stuff and never to repeat like the same texture, same rhythm, same same routine, let's say. As I'm like witnessing a lot of live acts that are playing drugstore, there is also in that scene in particular, there is kind of a routine also, as some people are playing the same live set for who knows how long, and which is not bad if this stuff is working, and if the crowd is responsive, it's amazing, and you can really tweak a really like details to it. But my approach is I'm trying to have fun each and every time, and for me it's the most interesting when I don't have no idea what I'm gonna do and where it's gonna go. It can be bad, it can be good, and this moment when I'm trying to sync with the new sound system, with a new mixer that I have in front of me that I've never seen before, with the new crowd that is expecting this or that. This whole process of like, let's say, first 30 minutes is like really stressful, but really rewarding when it comes to last 30 minutes of your set. If you're like sync, it's like really completely new experience every time, and I really really enjoy that. So yeah, when you're DJing also, of course you have your gigabytes of music that you can really mingle around in the all different way, and that's the whole thing that you can like really make a difference there. But for me, like last year or 2 years, I'm focusing really on this aspect of live set.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you are playing a DJ set tomorrow.
Yeah. So tomorrow I'm playing.
What can we expect? How is that different? And what did you prepare for tomorrow?
I prepare. It's gonna be like a long one, 3 hours. So I try to pick from all different aspects of music that I'm enjoying and I like to play in a club. And that I'm producing, it's gonna be clubby, it's gonna be dancey, there's gonna be a lot of folk rhythms incorporated in this saturated club music, droney also. I prefer to go a bit darker and like more drone orientated, but with heavy rhythms and those folk influences that I always try to incorporate in either DJ or live sets.
Okay, sounds perfect. we've actually run out of time,
okay.
Thank you for your time, Bane.
Thank you.
Let's invite everybody to Channel Zero tomorrow night, Ljubljana.
Of course, I would like to meet as much new people as I can, and I hope people gonna like the music, that we're gonna have an amazing time together.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye.
V tokratnem Ereš intervjuju smo poslušali pogovor s Kirom, kakor tudi njegov naravno kar poslušani komad Metalka, kasetno izdan pred mesecem dni na Jerevan Tapes.
Intervju Radija Študent.